Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Pastrnak fires it through, and the Bruins are on the board. That started way back in the Boston zone where Corrali made himself available for a short pass.
Yeah, go back to that first period. Early in the first period, we showed a couple of highlights of quality breakouts by Boston that led to opportunities up ice, and this is another one of those. And it was Pastrnak as that second lay-in. Pastrnak, he doesn't look like he missed any time with that finish. A little pump fake, open up, five hole, slide it in. He's a goal scorer, isn't he?
First time Pastrnak has been able to skate with the rest of his team, and he looked pretty good last night. Scored a nifty goal, as you just heard right there with Jack Edwards and Andy Brickley. Question is, what does he feel like today? That might have been a better question. No Christian today, no Lou. We got Mutt, and we got Fitzy. And joining us live, a friend of the show, Pierre McGuire, joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. He's up in the bubble in Edmonton. Hey, Pierre, how are you?
I'm great, Glenn. How you doing?
We're doing terrific. The world sucks right now. I don't know if you've heard in the last 5 months, things have not been going so well. But we've got it all back right now. So you've been ahead of the curve because you and your job have been surrounded by glass within the game now for years. So does anything change with you?
Actually, it does a little bit. I'm still actually in quarantine until tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. So I've been locked and loaded in my hotel room here since Monday. And I get out tomorrow, and I'll start broadcasting tomorrow. But the only difference for me in Edmonton, because that's where I am, is I can't work between the benches. There's not enough room there. Wow. So I'm actually working just by the bench, not between them, but just by one of the benches. So that's how we'll do it from Edmonton. And looking forward to the start tomorrow on the big NBC, Chicago and Edmonton. I'll be working with Doc Emmerich, who'll be in Port here on Michigan.
He's at home,
Eddie
right?
Olchek will
Doc's
be
at
Stanford.
Home.
Yeah, he's at home.
Yeah,
and Eddie Olchek will be at the studio in Stanford. So a little bit different in terms of the broadcast, but looking forward to it nonetheless.
Pierre, you've seen how the NHL has set this up for their two hub cities. How confident are you they'll be able to make this thing work and get through this playoff run of the Cup?
I'm blown away by how thorough, how professional everybody's been. The healthcare professionals, the National Hockey League, the people at NBC, the travel coordinators, it's been phenomenal. I'll just give you a quick example. I got a call on the 25th of July that I had to leave to get to Canada to quarantine starting on the 27th. So I packed all my stuff up in Boston, got in the car with my son, who's going to play junior hockey in BC, and we drove up to a home we have in Canada. I quarantined there for 14 days. Over the course of that quarantine time, they had to send people up to my house. I live way up in the woods to give me the COVID-19 test. I took that, and then on the 27th of July, I got into Edmonton. And as soon as I'm in the hotel, I go right to your room, and they send the test people right up to your room. You had to take a test every day. You had to be negative every day in order to go to work, and I've had five straight tests now of being negative.
Wow, that is thorough and comprehensive. So I guess so they got it on lockdown. So you mean you're not able to just sort of like maybe slip out and go with some friends to perhaps a gentleman's club in Atlanta if you were at Edmonton if you felt like it? That's wild.
Yeah,
Wow. Pierre,
That's one of the reasons why this has been so successful so far. Yeah. The players have been amazingly professional, but the league and the way the healthcare professionals have been around it and the communication with the league and the Players Association has been phenomenal. It really has been.
Is there any fear that the gameplay to start the season, now that we're headed towards the restart of the NHL, heading towards the playoffs, it is going to be sloppy? Like, is there any fear that the first couple of games are going to be like a slog that we're going to have to get through till we can get to some crisp midseason or postseason hockey?
We've seen a little bit of that so far in the, you know, obviously pre-tournament games. I think as we go along here, players will get more and more adept. I think you'll usually see games start slowly in terms of the flow and how players are playing. And as it goes along, I think you'll see things get better and better. You know, I've watched most of the pre-tournament games on TV here from my room, and yeah, some of them have been okay and some of them haven't been as okay. I think that's to be expected. But once a tournament actually starts tomorrow, I think you're going to see teams and players much more engaged.
We can look at the NBA, Peter, and we can pretty much come up with the teams that are going to be there at the end. You can never do that with the NHL. I think we all learned that last year. If you hadn't learned it years before with what happened with the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round. So the Bruins were sitting pretty when we all stopped, and they were really the President's Cup leader in the clubhouse at the time. Is this not good for them, and that we've had all of this time off? I look back at that time, if I remember correctly, the Flyers were playing well. Now we got Montreal in this tournament with an opportunity to do something. We've got other teams, Pittsburgh back and healthy again. Are the Bruins at a disadvantage with this long layoff?
I don't think so. I think the professionalism of their older players is really going to hold the day, and the depth down the middle. I mean, when you go Bergeron, Krejci, Coyle, and Corrali, 1, 2, 3, 4 down the middle, if you're the Boston Bruins, that's really hard for anybody in the Eastern Conference to match up on. If you look at their defense, there's an elite puck mover on every tandem. You've got McAvoy with Chara, obviously an elite puck mover. Torrey Krug is an elite puck mover. Matt Grizzlick, an elite puck mover. Johnny Moore, when he plays, elite puck mover. So they've got everything you need to be successful in playoff hockey. They're two goalies deep. They probably have, if not the best coaching staff in the league, they're in the top three for sure as an entire staff. So, Glenn, I got to tell you, with respect, I don't think the Bruins are going to have the issues in terms of, you know, the age factor of their roster that a lot of people are pointing to. I think the age factor might actually be a positive thing, not a negative thing, because of the maturity level of the players.
Well, Pierre, to that end, in Vegas, are you the favorite or the co-favorite to win the Cup? Are those fair odds right now for the Bruins? You put it as one of the real favorites to win this thing.
I think they are. There are a couple teams in the East that I think could potentially cause problems. I think Tampa, Glenn talked about Tampa before. I did all their games with Columbus last year in that sweep. And I got to tell you, Tampa's still angry about that. And if they use that as a proper type of fuel, eventually they could be a problem for anybody in the East, not just for Boston. I think the Washington Capitals aren't getting nearly enough respect around the Eastern Conference. They've played extremely well. And Glenn again touched on it with the play at Philadelphia. But I do think in the Eastern Conference, the Bruins are still the elite team in the East. I really believe that.
So when you look at the bubble situation and the way it's all working right now, is it going to be bizarre to have games all day long? Now, I know it's the summertime, so, and most people are not going to work anymore, but it's not like we're going night to night. We're going to be watching games like in the middle of the day, right?
Well, there's an Olympic quality to this situation,
yes,
and there's also
so.
A March Madness quality to this situation, and I think that's going to stimulate a lot of people. I think people are just crying out for any kind of sport to watch on TV, especially contact sports, and I think that's something people really want to see. This is a huge opportunity for the National Hockey League and for NBC and for the people that are involved in the league to really help grow the brand, and I'm really excited about it. We've got, you know, a lot of different ideas that I hope will work really, really well as an organization, talking about NBC and the league. The players themselves are completely committed and engaged. I can tell you, after 2 or 3 weeks, I think most of the guys are really getting discouraged. But I think after a while, they realize there's a real good chance this is coming back. And I think the focus of most of the players has been to get in real good shape and be ready for whenever it starts. Well, it starts tomorrow, so
yeah,
they're ready.
I actually think it's, look, we're talking to Pierre McGuire from NBC Sports. I actually think it's looked good. Even with the coverings that they do on the lower bowl, it's not a distraction. Because so much of the play is out on the ice. So you tell me, you talked about the players, and hockey players are a different breed. I would agree with you with that. Maybe more, it was Pasternak blew it a little bit and kind of ruined the impression or the reputation of those guys. But when you talk about hockey players, not only are they a different breed, but isn't the sport protecting them? So they have gloves on, okay? Nobody's touching the puck with their bare hands. They have shields over their face. So really, they're kind of going along with the normal safety protocol out there, aren't they?
Some of it. I mean, you're still physically engaged. There's a lot of sweat that on big hits, it gets exchanged. There's a lot of saliva. There's a lot of spitting. I'm not saying they're spitting on each other, but there's still a lot of saliva around both benches. I don't know how they're going to curtail that. There's still a lot of yelling and screaming at people. So sometimes spittle flies out of guys' mouths. The linesmen that drop the puck still have to pick it up with their bare hands. I mean, it's not letter perfect, but in an imperfect situation, they've handled it as perfectly as you can. I give Glenn, and I talked to you about this a long time ago when I was on with you and Christian and Lou. The problem-solving capabilities of Gary Bettman and Bill Daly have been phenomenal since they've been in league office, but this is another example of just how calculating and smart and aware they are of different situations. And the Players Association, Donald Fehr and his people, deserve a lot of credit as well. The spirit of cooperation has been phenomenal, but it's an imperfect situation, but I think they've handled it as perfectly as possible.
You mentioned the protocols in place, Pierre. It sounds like the NHL is got things lined up. I know we talked to Claude Julien a couple weeks ago. He in Canada especially, his comments about maybe having to opt out if things got to a certain point as a coach got a lot of attention north of the border. How do the coaches feel about this? Because as you know, the coaches are a lot of the guys that are in that age range that are at risk. Have you talked to coaches that are worried about how this thing is going to go?
Rick Bowness, I think, is the oldest coach in the league right now. You know, he's in his middle 60s and former Bruins head coach. I don't think he's concerned about it. He takes real good care of himself. Once you get in, it's hard for people that are outside of the bubble to understand, but once you get in it, it's hard to imagine that you're in a safer place. I mean, everybody's getting tested here all the time. Every day you walk into the rink, you have to be tested. I've been in my room since Monday afternoon at 3 o'clock in the afternoon mountain time.
Are you out of Netflix, Pierre?
You know, yeah, Netflix and books. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of hockey, but no, you know what I mean? It's pretty hard to imagine you'd be in a more dangerous situation. This is probably as safe as anything you're going to be in. But most of the coaches and trainers are the older people around it. And I haven't heard anybody say anything negative yet.
Pierre, speaking of people saying something negative, I'm not sure if you heard the Mike Milbury comments on Boston fans not liking Tuca's demeanor, saying that sort of like divesting himself of hockey for a little bit during the quarantine and the shutdown, that could rub Bruins fans who seem to always be ready to jump on Tuca's back for not coming through in the clutch and for not being ready to carry the team to a Stanley Cup. Do you have any issue with Milbury conveying those comments? And do you think we should have any reason to be nervous about Tuca here for the playoff restart?
Yeah, I didn't hear Mike's comments. So I apologize. But Mike's been a real good teammate to work with at NBC. I coached against Mike for a lot of years. I really respect him as a hockey person. He's when it's all said and done, Mike's been in a lot of different situations. I still think Mike fancies himself a Boston Bruin, and he wears his passion for the game unbelievably well. Yep. In terms of Tuca, I've known Tuca a long time. He's competitive. He cares desperately about winning. You know, people are going to formulate opinions on you until you win. And Tim Thomas, I'm not sure there could have been a more prototypical Bruins goalie than Tim Thomas and what he was able to do in 2011. You know, maybe Jerry Cheevers. And maybe a little bit of Reggie Lemelin, guys that weren't overly fancy, but just got it done because they had a lot of grit and a lot of compete. Tuca's a little bit different. He's different than that, but he's still really good. And that's why I talked about it before. The competitive nature of Jaro Halak and Tuukka Rask gives the Bruins a pretty darn good 1-2 punch. You'd probably see a lot of teams in the league say, I'd sure like to have that in my goaltending situation.
It's a good point about Mike, because I did hear the comment he made, and he actually said he was a Tuukka fan, so he's pulling for him. But you're right. If you look at Milbury as a coach, and you coached against him, and as a player, pretty emotional guy. Okay, pretty emotional guy. In the stands, wherever he had to be, Mike was going to be there. And this is so different when you hear Tuukka. And Tuukka was just making comments, I think, just saying, well, I cared more about dealing with my family and stuff like that for the last 4 months. But once you get into a competitive nature and you're in the bubble, doesn't that all change? I mean, now you're back to hockey again. If it doesn't, he's in trouble. There's no question.
100%, Glenn. I think that's so well said, really eloquent. Once you get in here, it fires you up. I mean, you're in a place where not a lot of people have the privilege of being. And it's an honor to be here. And I think every player that's here knows that. There's some that there are players on teams that shouldn't even be in the playoffs that are getting a second chance opportunity because of the way it's been structured. We talked about the imperfect situation, but it's about as perfect as it can be. And so some of those players I know are very grateful for having a second chance opportunity to actually play in meaningful games. I just know this about Tuukka. When he dials it up, he's as good and as competitive as any player in the league at his position.
Pierre, last one for me. It's become a story the last 24 hours here in Boston, I guess nationally as well. Tuukka Rask is wearing a Boston police hat, and he was questioned about it. In fact, Evan Moore, who covers hockey for the Chicago Sun-Times, said that Tuukka wearing a Boston police cap after his team released a statement about social justice is all one needs to know about what it comes to hockey culture and when it comes to hockey culture. Do you think, Pierre, because you're around these guys much more than I am, does hockey have a culture issue?
No, I'm not a politician. I'm not a political observant type of person, so I really can't answer that. I don't know, again, what you're alluding to. I know one thing. I've been in the league 32 years, and I've got friendships with people that are French. I've got friendships with people that are people of color. I've watched a lot of great players over the course of my career, and I would never judge anybody based on where they come from, what the color of their skin is, or what language they speak. Whether they be Russian, Finns, Swedes, Czechs, French, it doesn't matter to me. And I think most of the people that I know that have been in this business a long time feel the same way. I have not experienced that. I think the league has done a real good job trying to become socially aware like everybody else has in society, though I really admire that about the league and the players in the league in particular.
Pierre, sorry you had to shorten up your New England summer. It's back to work. So we'll be watching. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you later on in this season 2.0. All right.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much, Glenn. It was really nice visiting with you and the whole team there. And just buckle up, fans. This is going to be a ton of fun to watch. It should be really, really fun.
Thanks, Pierre.
We'll talk to you down the road. See you, Pierre.
Thank you, Pierre McGuire.
NBC Sports right here on OMF.
Monday night, weeknight 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending being brought to you by Shaw's Just For You. This week, Shaw's Just For You members can get Coca-Cola 12-packs or AHA sparkling water 8-packs on sale, 3 for just $8.80. When you activate the digital coupon, you must buy 3. And, of course, there is a limit of 3 per customer. Tyler?
Some breaking news, guys, brought to you by Northeast Insurance, proud sponsor of Clear Path for Veterans New England. Former Patriots wide receiver Antonio Brown being suspended for 8 games for violation of the NFL personal conduct policy. Brown's 8-game suspension takes effect week 1 regardless of whether he's on a roster or not. The suspension could be extended if further violations are found related to an ongoing civil suit down in Florida. By the way, guys, should the Ravens, a team that's been rumored to sign Antonio Brown, their 9th game of the season in Foxborough against the Patriots.
Please, wait a minute.
When does he comes back in game 9 if he can play?
That's the earliest.
But he's got to make it through the entire week to get to Sunday, right?
Red Sox and Yankees, first of 3 from the Bronx. Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming have the call, a 7:05 first pitch. Coverage begins at 6:05 in the Shaw's and Star Market WEI Red Sox Radio Network.
Lou taking a day off already.
Celtics return to action tonight with the first of their 8 remaining games of the regular season. Celtics and Bucks tip off at 6:30 from Orlando. No Kemba Walker. Actually, Kemba will be playing 15 to 20 minutes, but there will be no Eric Bledsoe or Pat Connaughton.
Was there no Kemba Walker?
Kemba Walker is playing. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
He's on like 14 to 20
Who
minutes.
Who writes this stuff?
Yeah, it's me. I have trouble with the English language sometimes. So Kemba Walker expected to play restricted 15 to 20 minutes. No Eric Bledsoe, no Pat Connaughton for the Bucks. And finally, Bill Belichick will hold a conference call with the media.
Yeah,
3:30 today here live on OMF.
Let's go.
Those awkward pauses will be great.
He's announcing the starting quarterback, I heard, Fitzy.
Yes. Yeah, actually, he's going to tell MLB how they should handle their COVID outbreak, Glenn. So stay tuned.
I'm Tyler Devitt, and that's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I know sometimes things can shift on the fourth preseason game. Do you feel there's, like, you need four to help you get ready for the season? Or would you be okay if there were a reduced number of preseason games?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into all that, Mike. I mean, I think you can figure it out. You're a smart guy.
Smart guy, that, Mike Reese. Smart guy. The discomfort's great.
10 minutes away, baby. 10 minutes away.
For some more discomforts. First time he's talked since the draft, and really his dog did more talking than he did during the draft. So this will be a plus. So I'm going to start with Fitzy in this one because, Fitzy's got the opportunity to interview since he came
just
over to
EEI. Say it. He's a fanboy. You want to hear the fanboy, Foxborough fanboy question for us. Right. Come on.
Exactly. So what would be the number one question if you were involved? And if you haven't heard it, 10 minutes from now, Bill Belichick we'll be doing a conference Zoom call. We'll be on it, and you'll all get the opportunity to hear it. So, Fitzy, if you were the guy in there.
Yep.
Hi, Nick. How are you? How you doing, Nick? Good, Bill. How's this off-season been?
Well, can I guess, though, what he's going to ask?
Yeah, go ahead. Number one question he would ask. Go ahead.
Bill, could you rank your favorite five off-season activities you've had so far?
It's
a big rankings guy this week.
I was going to say top ten, but...
My first question to Brady, rank your greatest throws, or were these your greatest throws? Obviously, I would ask him, can you rank your top five greatest coaching decisions? Malcolm Go, the play Denver 2003 on Monday Night Football. Now, Glenn, my first question I would ask, I think, is something that is in the back of, or at least somewhere on the mind of every Foxborough fanboy like myself. Bill, have you talked to Tom since he decided to take his talents to Tampa Bay?
That would be a challenging question. We're just focused. No, you missed 5 seconds of dead air. It would be seconds of dead air, maybe a one of those.
Now, Glenn,
think
do you think...
figure it out. You're a smart guy. Yeah.
Now, would he give me dead air? Would he give me... We're on to 2020. Tom's not on the football team, so it's not my business. Or would he go with that classic, like, I keep my personal conversations private?
He would give you all four of those. Basically, he would throw them all out there.
Where's our bingo sheets? We need bingo sheets for this.
Yeah. Why didn't you make some, Ryan?
I think a list would be a good question today. Bill, can you rank your quarterback depth chart? Can you give me number one, number two, number three? Of course, he's not going to answer that either. Mark, what do you think?
He's not answering any question. I would like to know when they decided they wanted to really sign Cam Newton. Take us through the process of signing Cam Newton.
Good question.
You had Jarrett Stidham. You didn't draft anyone in the draft. You brought in a bunch of no-name quarterbacks that nobody besides Fitzy has ever heard of, like this Lewicki guy, whatever they are.
It's Lewicki.
Oh, sorry. And then they decide Cam Newton's available. We're bringing Cam Newton in. Andy Dalton was out there. There are plenty of other options. Take us through the process of signing Cam Newton. What led you to sign him, given you have Jarrett Stidham on this roster?
I've answered the question twice.
Thank you, Bill, but it's not going to be asked or answered or anything like
Reports
that.
Had the Patriots tied to Cam Newton as far back as April, Bill. Is your interest in Cam Newton and his subsequent availability why you actually drafted no quarterbacks and took two free agents like Jamar Smith and Brian Lewerke?
Bill, I hear you're a fan of a certain fast food sandwich. What's your favorite $5 footlong?
Any more football questions?
Bill? Bill?
Somebody's going to do that. You know that. Somebody's going to say, hey, Bill. Why was it doing that Subway commercial?
Bill, how do you think Steve looks on the cover of Nantucket Magazine today?
And I want Fitzy here. He's great. But why isn't Fitzy one of the guys asking questions?
That's good.
I think he's kind of making our point why he's not one of the guys.
No, I disagree. He did a great job.
Lock the door, please.
You asked Tuukka Rask, is a hot dog a sandwich, that's a couple weeks ago
on
Zoom?
That was the question everyone wanted to know the answer to.
Get with Bill Belichick and get him laughing here.
Do we know, is our guy Andy Hart, is he on the Zoom call today?
Andy, I did see that Mike Reese was the very first person in the Zoom call.
Of course he was.
So he'd be there. Of course he was there. He's been there for an hour and a half waiting.
All these sports
Mike gets dressed in a three-piece Brooks Brothers suit to do Zooms at home.
Two words. Sheer joy.
I love Mike Reese. I love Mike Reese more than I can handle it.
But we'll have Curran there. We'll have Phil Perry. And we'll have all the regulars, right? We'll have all the regular guys. I wonder if the Karen Garrigan, maybe she'll be on the call. So it'll be interesting because he hasn't had much to say. I'm not sure he's going to say an awful lot. I'm just taking a flyer on this one. But it'll be interesting to hear his reaction to the questions. The dead air, whether he does exactly what we just said, move on to the next topic, we're on to this. Because there are still some lingering Brady questions, right? Lingering Gronk questions.
Yes.
They're probably going to get asked. I would think they're going to get asked. And the question is, does he just put it in the rearview mirror and say, I'm not even going to talk about it?
Of the guys that are gone like those guys in Tampa, he's not going to answer. The one that is a legit question is, you had six players opt out this week.
Correct.
Like, talk through the opt-out process and what you think the season could be like. Now, it's a general question, but something along those lines about the players that are no longer here who decided to opt out. That's a legit question.
I think
question.
He answers that one. I think that's one he would
answer.
He should. Yeah, because he it's a personal issue with those guys, and I think he's going to address it. Plus, he also knows it's a smart question to actually answer. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we will hear from Bill Belichick for the first time since the NFL draft, and you will hear it right here on OMF.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Pretty embarrassing. We listen to Bill, and he says he doesn't listen to us. Pretty embarrassing, but what the hell are you going to do for it? Mutt's in the house today. Fitzy's in the house. We've got no Christian, no Lou. They're taking long weekends. And we're waiting for Bill Belichick, who will conduct his first Zoom conference call with the media. First of the camp, that is. By the way, did you guys see the picture of Julian Edelman with Cam Newton? Mm-hmm. You seen all of this?
Oh
yet?
My God! You didn't hear Fitzy moaning about it before the show today?
You mean my daily dose of Pat's porn?
Oh my God, Mutt, you got to look at this. Look at how ripped Edelman is.
I know Mutt's a gym hardo. He's looking at that washboard, going, "How do I get those abs?"
I'm a little jealous. A little jealous of Jules. It was a little better than
you. Where you find
it? He's come out of quarantine.
Do you guys honestly not think that him being in the post Brady era and him being pick 101 on the NFL top 100 2020, when guys like Larry Fitzgerald are getting congratulatory career achievement victory lap placements and Edelman, who worked his ass off, gets outside of the 100 bubble, if you will, like he's not going to be trying triple hard this year?
Okay.
You don't?
He should be.
No, I agree. I think he's going to be motivated, but that doesn't necessarily mean the guy's going to go out and have a great season. He's older, physical. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen.
Right. The
one thing that amazes me is that the people act like they're, 11-year-old girls out there when you see a picture like that. And I'm seeing people out there tweeting, oh, my God, this means that Edelman wants Cam Newton to be the quarterback. What are we talking about? Because he happened to have a picture taken with Cam Newton because they were throwing the ball together with a bunch of other guys, and that suddenly is symbolic? It means something?
He probably does. Glenn, if he has his choice right now, who do you think he wants to be the quarterback, Cam Newton or Jared Stidham? I think he wants it to be. Okay, I'm going to say Cam Newton. Because,
why?
Because he can have better success with Cam Newton than he can with Jared Stidham.
Well, in your mind, he can. He might not think that.
You think that Julian Edelman believes that Jared Stidham is better for his career than Cam Newton, Glenn?
Yeah, well, I would say this, that Cam Newton is not the most accurate throwing quarterback in the league.
Is there a gas leak in your house?
And for a guy that's going over the middle, it could have put him in harm's way from time to time because Cam has a tendency of doing that.
Who throws more hospital balls this year, Stidham or Cam Newton? I'm going to go Stidham because he's so panicked in the pocket.
I think Stidham is
plays.
A more accurate quarterback right now.
Based on what passes,
his best completion was to a Seattle Seahawk who was on the Jets last season. Come on, Glenn. Okay. You really don't think that these guys on offense...
I think you're all going to be surprised by some of this stuff. Let's let it play out. Let's do this. Let's let it play out.
Oh, but so you want to wait? So you want to wait and not have an opinion until it plays out?
No, I have an opinion. I've already told you my opinion. I think Cam's going to have some difficulty. I think the short camp is going to be a problem for him. I think there are a bunch of red flags that you have to be concerned with. And the fact that nobody else was willing to take him out there. Nobody was willing to stretch it out, including Bill Belichick.
But your big thing is injury,
he could have put money out there. He could have gone out there earlier.
Yep.
He could have redone some contracts here to be able to open up money. Bill's taking him on a flyer because he's really cheap. And at one time, he was a hell of a quarterback. I'm not sure he's the same guy anymore. We'll see. Maybe he is. Maybe he's...
I'm not sure he's the same guy either, but I think if Edelman... So Edelman's a star player.
Mm-hmm.
He played with a star quarterback in Brady.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen Stidham for, what, a cup of coffee?
Mm-hmm.
How could he not have more faith that Cam Newton
he's seen
would
him
be better
for
Edelman?
He's seen him for more than a cup of coffee. So he's seen more of Stidham by far.
He didn't practice
than he
with
has
him.
With Cam. He did.
He practiced with Brady.
No, he wasn't. Thursday and Friday last year, go look it up. Remember Belichick coming out and saying,
calling
Thursdays
him
and Friday, yep. Stidham was taking first-team reps.
Okay, so
wake up, Mutt. He's seen far more of him than you have.
Let's hear from the coach. Maybe he'll tell
us. Let's go.
All right. Well, good to see everyone, sort of, kind of. Always good to start camp and get into the process. It was a little bit different this year. A lot of things that from a logistical and rules standpoint, didn't fall into place until just about a week ago. And so we've tried to move quickly to accommodate, everything that's been put in front of us. Number one thing is safety for everybody involved, players, staff, the organization, all our support people and so forth. So, biggest thing is to try to start the season healthy. And that means, healthy in a safe environment with all the required testing and so forth that we've been through. And I think the players have done a great job of responding to that so far. Both, in the recent week and in the previous weeks and months before that, that overall has been, really a very good thing for us throughout the entire spring. And, organizationally, you know, Robert and Kraft families responded with facility upgrades, really at the highest level, you know, put ourselves in the most, in the safest environment we can create on all different sorts of levels. And, you know, we'll use as much distancing as we can and other safety protocols that are in place, some of which I think are, you know, beyond requirements, in some cases well beyond the requirements, just because we feel like that's the most important thing and the right thing to do. So that's really number one on the priority. As of Monday, we'll be moving into a kind of the phase one of our off-season program. I feel like this is a little bit of a combination between March, when we sign our free agents, and even though we've talked with them and met with them virtually, we still, some of them haven't, you know, we haven't had a face-to-face in-person meeting, and also kind of a combination of rookie minicamp, first minicamp after the draft where the rookies come in and, you know, start to join the veterans. So this is going to be a little bit of a combination of that. We have a break-in period here where the players can begin to train and acclimate themselves to conditioning and so forth, getting ready for the football season, and that'll gradually ramp up into training camp. But for a while here, we're, I'd say, again, very much in a start of the off-season program, rookie mini camp type of state, and we'll, you know, move through that at the pace that we can. And then, you know, in a couple of weeks, close to a couple of weeks, I'd say that, you know, we'll actually be in training camp. So that's what it is. And we're prepared for that. The players have done an excellent job of, you know, coming back virtually, of course, to this point, but coming back and, you know, staying on top of a lot of the information we gave in the spring. And I think we'll be able to, you know, move forward when we get the opportunity on the field, football-wise. Not training, that'll start this week, but from a football standpoint, that'll, you know, it'll be a little while here, but I think we'll be ready to go when it's time to kick in. So, really no, you know, no evaluations of really much of anything. I think this is again a period that we, you know, get the players ready to go, both schematically, terminology, all that, physically with our training, and then, you know, once we get out on the field, then we'll, you know, we'll start to see how it's coming together. So, but right now, that's in the future, but it's not in the near future. So, that's kind of the update for now.
We have a lot of people that want to ask questions. I'm going to apologize in advance. We're going to limit this to about 10 or 15 minutes. We'll start with Phil Perry, followed by Mike Reese. Go ahead, Phil.
Thanks, Stacy. Bill, I just wanted to ask you, you had six players who decided to opt out earlier this week for the 2020 season. What was your reaction to that when you heard the news that those players were deciding not to play?
Yeah, well, I respect all of them. I respect all the players on our team. We all have to make decisions. You know, I talked to them. Talk to those guys and they explained their situation and, you know, they had to make the decision that was best for them. And I totally respect and support it 100%.
It sounds like, Bill, there's going to be an opportunity for players to continue to make a decision one way or another over the course of the next week. Are you anticipating more players deciding to opt out? Or are you thinking that the players you have now will be the ones that you're moving into the season with?
Yeah. Well, again, Phil, I think everybody's got to make their own individual decisions on that. And, you know, they have to weigh their own situation. Each one of us is unique and we all have different, lives, situations, families, environments, and so forth and so on. So there's no two situations that are the same. Everybody will have to make their own decision on that. And, you know, I have no way of, you know, my crystal ball is kind of cloudy right now, so I have no idea what, you know, what will happen along those lines. You know, I think everybody in the league, every team in the league, every player, every coach, you know, everybody in the league is involved in that, you know, to some degree. And so we'll just have to see how it turns out.
Thanks, Bill.
Next question is Mike Reese, followed by Mike Petraglia.
Hey, Bill, I think the question everyone's curious about this offseason is that when you were sitting on that bench in Connecticut filming that commercial, what was the sandwich?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I don't know. I think it's one of their super dupers or whatever. But, you know, I haven't ever done anything like that. I think, you know, we mentioned it on the BBF website, but you know, it's kind of a difficult environment to raise funds now for charities, foundations, and so forth for, you know, a number of reasons. And, you know, this is an opportunity to spend a day to be able to fund the initiatives that we have in the foundation for student athletes and the various sports programs. They're, I would say, in a little tougher shape than maybe what they normally are, you know, financially from an opportunity standpoint. So appreciate the opportunity that Subway gave me, gave the foundation, the support that they gave us. And yeah, it was a fun commercial to do. And everybody loves sandwiches, so hopefully we'll be okay with it. I know I'm going to get killed in the rookie shows on this. I know that's going to happen, but I'll just have to swallow it.
On a team note, I was curious what appealed to you to bring Cam Newton to the team. And at this time of year, in the past couple decades, there hasn't been too much of a question as to who will play quarterback for you. How are you approaching that specific spot this year?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that spot's the same as all the other spots on the team. You know, we got a long way to go, and, you know, we'll see how things turn out. You know, I can't control how players perform. That's up to them. We'll give everybody an opportunity and, you know, see what happens. So, I don't know.
Specific to Cam, what appealed to you with him just to bring him aboard?
Well, things worked out. We spent, you know, quite a bit of time with Cam, and, you know, he spent quite a bit of time with us. I think it was some, you know, mutual interest, and we spent quite a bit of number of different people and number of different conversations, and I think just trying to see how the fit would be. And it was very positive on our end, and I'm glad it worked out.
Now, Mike Petraglia, followed by Mike Giardi. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, Bill, and I'm going to pull a page out of the Mike Reese playbook here and ask you about the face covering. If there's any story behind that, looks like it's nautical or a lighthouse of some sort.
Oh, it's one of the Sankaty Gators. Yeah.
Nice. All right. And with that out of the way, I wanted to ask you about the lack of preseason games and how that is going to provide a distinct challenge for you and the staff, because obviously in the past you've used those games to help evaluate player, game-ready players. You don't have that this year.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll just have to take advantage of our practice opportunities create as much combination of competition to evaluate the players and also situations to get our players ready to play in regular season games and combine those things as we go forward. So it'll be a little different setup. But, you know, Mike, that's what college teams do every year. I think ever since, you know, the beginning of college football back in, I don't know about all the way back when Rutgers started in the 1870s, but, you know, that's the way it's been. You you go to camp for 3 weeks, and then you start the season, and there are no preseason games, and you evaluate your team, and you get ready to play. And that's, I mean, that's what all college football teams do. And so, you know, I don't think it's anything that's, you know, revolutionary here. This is just, we haven't done it that way in a National Football League for a while, but, and I certainly haven't done it that way. I mean, I haven't coached in college, but as a college player and growing up around college programs, I can remember, you know, those periods of time leading up to the start of the season. And, you know, teams had their scrimmages or, you know, whatever you want to call them, and ways to prepare their team and at the same time evaluate the players. And, you know, it's a process that certainly goes into the early part of the season. And, you know, that's, I mean, this is just football. That's all. I don't really see it any differently.
Mike Giardi followed by Megan O'Brien.
Afternoon, Bill. I'm just curious, because of the nature of this offseason and not being able to actually get on the field, did that also help sort of direct you in Cam's vicinity and sort of continue those conversations, because you know what his resume is and how long he's been in the league and how long he's done it at a relatively high level?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It wasn't that way. So, I don't know. I don't know if it had been differently, if it would have happened differently. I don't know. I don't see why it would have, but I'm not sure.
Did it make it more difficult to in particular with Jarrett, to evaluate where Jarrett is after his first year? Because again, there are 400 to 500 reps in the off season that got missed.
Yeah, well, everybody missed those. So, that's what it is. It's the same for everybody, and that's, you know, that's the way it went this year, and it's the way it went in 2011. Some years are different than other years, and, you know, there's nothing we can do about that. We can't change it, so we'll just try to make the most out of every opportunity that we get going forward. That's all we can do. And, you know, the meetings were beneficial for all of us, for the players and the staff, and, you know, we have a couple new staff members, but just, you know, kind of bringing things together. I mean, I felt like we did what we could do. We got a lot out of the opportunities that we had. They were different than being able to go on the field and practice. No question about that. But again, that's what it was. So that's, we tried to take advantage of that, and we'll continue to do that. When we get opportunities, we'll try to use them the best we can.
Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome.
All right. Next question, Megan O'Brien.
Thanks so much, Stacy. Coach, you mentioned new additions to the coaching staff, and one of those, Troy Brown, was announced that he will be joining Ivan Fears as one of the running back coaches this season. What went into the decision to move Troy Brown over to work with the running backs?
Well, you know, Troy's spent the year with us last year, and of course has, you know, a tremendous amount of experience here, and you know, he'll continue to work with other positions as well, the returners and slot receivers. And you know, I think just, you know, given Troy's, the conversations I have with Troy, you know, he's very eager. He has a very good football, very instinctive football player and coach. And I think that, you know, he was always great with the ball in his hands as a runner. He was obviously a great receiver, and I think, you know, that's a big part of every running back's job. And again, he was a, you know, strong player in the kicking game as well. So it was an opportunity for him to, you know, to be involved with a little bit of a different group. We've moved a couple coaches around this year that, you know, I think just expanding their coaching at different positions, coaching different players, you know, helps them become, you know, better all around coaches. And, you know, Cole was with the running backs last year, and this year we work with the offensive line. Steven was with the safeties, and I'll be with the outside linebacker. So there's, you know, I think a lot of benefit of that. Josh, Matt, Patricia, we can go on and on about all the coaches that have, you know, switched spots around here. You know, I think Troy, you know, has done a great job with them, and he'll certainly be involved in other things besides that.
All right, Bill Belichick down in Foxborough giving his first little briefing. It's a video conference through Zoom with members of the media. We do have some breaking news right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, This is Breaking News, brought to you by Northeast Insurance, a proud sponsor of Clear Path for Veterans New England.
Yeah, Glenn, you're right. Breaking news in the real world as Boston Marathon bomber Jokhar Tsarnaev has had his death sentence vacated by a First Circuit court this afternoon. Chris Filani of 360 Law will join us coming up in about a half an hour to discuss, but we have the details in front of us. We'll come back and talk about it because today a First Circuit court has vacated the death sentence of Jokhar Tsarnaev, which has a lot of people reacting, as you might expect, Glenn, on social media, wondering how we got to this point here on a Friday afternoon on the final day of July.
You wonder where we're getting to a lot of stuff these days, but that is a fascinating one. We'll talk more about it. We'll take a break, and we're going to take a break now, guys. And then we will be back, and we'll sit and talk about some of the stuff that Bill Belichick just talked about. What kind of sandwich was that? We never did find that out.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.